Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. Y'all know I am crunchy mama to the max, but when it comes to seasonal allergies, I don't play. I can't afford to. Y'all, I've had the worst seasonal allergies my entire life. I have missed out on so much of the spring because I've had to stay inside while people are outside having fun. I've gone on these amazing retreats and literally just looked out the window watching people have the most amazing time. Because my allergies can't do it. I am straight up, I just can't do it. My eyes get itchy and red and watery. I can't keep makeup on. My nose drips. My throat gets clogged up. And I'm telling y'all, my face swells. It gets itchy. I really, really need support and help when it comes to seasonal allergies. Luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Designed for serious allergy sufferers, Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so that you can breathe better. I am pregnant right now, so I'm not able to take it. So please, you guys, if you have seasonal allergies, for my sake, go get some and experience what it's like to breathe a little bit. I've taken Claritin D for so much of my life. And when I'm not pregnant, I do take it. It's so, so helpful. Ready to live as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it, all while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
What's up, ladies? Welcome back to another episode of Call Her Holy. I'm Laura Eldridge.
And I'm Nicoletta Bradley.
Nico, welcome back to the studio.
It's been a while, girl.
Did you have a good Thanksgiving?
I did. It was really fun. I feel like if you were following along, traveling, as always, but I'm not really going anywhere for a while, so I'm pumped.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So I was in Lake Travis. I was at Lake Travis, which is in Austin, for Thanksgiving.
Okay.
There's no water in the lake. Okay. So it's literally like the entire reservoir is completely dried up.
Okay.
It was kind of weird. And I'm also going to North Carolina and Kentucky for Christmas.
Oh my gosh, I am staying planted.
So we're just, you know, little role reversal.
Come on, Laura's traveling, I'm staying, I'm here for it, man.
What you do when you're traveling as a mom is like, I'm not thinking about Christmas outfits. I'm not even thinking about people's Christmas presents.
You're just trying to stay alive.
No, I'm thinking about keeping a toddler entertained on a plane ride. So it's like I'm already planning, like my Amazon cart is, you have to buy new toys every single time.
What about watching a movie?
You could watch a movie. Yeah, like
I don't know, I know that you're not a huge TV for Oakley type girl.
You have to like plan for it. Oh, we watch TV, you know, but obviously I try not to fry your brain, but we do it, whatever.
Sometimes
come at me if you want. I mean, I don't care. I'm pretty confident in my parenting choices.
You're a great mom.
Thanks, girl. Anyway, so yeah, you have to like keep them entertained, but it's going to be great.
I'm excited. Follow along. All the details. I'm kind of jealous you're traveling. I loved going somewhere for Thanksgiving. It just kind of added a whole nother element.
Yeah. You've had like a really crazy season, I feel like, though.
But I feel like every season's kind of crazy for me.
Yeah, that's true.
I kind of don't stop running.
So have I ever told you this? I think I have. Like, I am opposed to the word busy.
No, you have not.
I don't say I'm busy. I think busy communicates something that is like, no, you're not busy. You're choosing to spend your time a specific way.
Yeah.
And I think we stress ourselves out by saying I'm busy. I'm so busy.
Dang.
And it's like, that feels not purposeful. Like, no, you're choosing to spend your time a specific way, or you have responsibilities or commitments. But like, the more you tell yourself I'm so busy, the more stressed out you're getting. So if you just like stop telling yourself that and be like, no, I actually have enough time today to do everything that God has given me to do.
So what do you say instead?
I have a full schedule. My schedule's packed today. You know, or like, hey, I'm a little overwhelmed, and then, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then I can like step back and
take a second, but like, I think what we tell ourselves really matters. And I think when we say I'm so busy, it's like, I don't know. I also think it communicates to other people, like, you don't have time for me. And it's like, even if that's true, like, I don't know. I just think, I don't know. Just chew on that.
Okay. I actually think that's really powerful because I actually did this recently. I woke up early on a Sunday morning and went and sat next to this like body of water in Fort Worth and just like sat there and prayed. So if you've ever listened to any of the podcasts, I've always said like my ditch is believing I'm a failure. Like that's just like the lie the enemy gets me with. And I basically figured out, I mean, once again, struggle with body image, all the things, but underneath all the like little lies is the big lie of I'm a failure.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
And my sister's been really helpful in kind of re-changing the language of kind of, I mean, it's like Christian manifesting in a weird way. That's a whole other topic. But in a way, like waking up and actually believing the words that the Lord says about you.
It's meditating on truth.
On truth. Yes. Which makes you then show up differently.
Exactly.
What Noble's all about. Like instead of talking through like, oh, I'm like too fat, I'm too ugly. What if we actually believe what the Lord said? Anyways, went and sat with the Lord and I just was processing through the word of failure. And I felt like the Lord put on my heart, no, you're actually a fighter.
Yes.
And I kind of sat with that for a while and it was like, the enemy tells me I'm a failure when in reality it failing means you're hit and you're put down and you never get back up.
Mm.
But when I'm hit, I always get back up. And so it's been this crazy revolution of changing my language of when I hear the enemy whisper, you're a failure. I'm like, no, actually I'm a fighter because even though I might like be frustrated or, you know, like clothes don't fit or what, fill in the blank, like this going on a date with this guy didn't work, it's easy for the enemy to be like failure. And I'm like, no, I'm a fighter because I get back up.
That's what's up. Down.
But in the same way,
I love
it. You're sitting here going like, yeah, if you just change your language sometimes, it changes everything.
Yeah. Yeah. So good. Speaking of change,
come on,
God
baby.
Has used this podcast to create change in so many of y'all's lives, and we're really grateful. We have a huge milestone to celebrate. We got our first
camera.
Professional camera.
Yeah, literally so excited because if you know anything about Caller Holy, truly the only support we have are the sweet Venmo that you guys
Y'all have literally carried this podcast on your backs.
Literally the only reason we have a camera is because of your kind donations, and me and Laura have just been praying to make Caller Holy bigger. In 2024, we want more listeners and we want more women to be touched by the gospel. And truly, that's because of y'all. So we're doing our first little fundraiser and it's still January 1. And we are asking that 100 of you listeners donate $100 because then that gets us to $10,000 by January 1. And that is going to go fully to allowing us to go into really great content on
video.
Yeah, video
content.
Video content on Instagram, TikTok, all the things, YouTube.
It's like the cultural tone is shifting a little bit. And like, we are huge on meeting you guys where you are, meeting our culture where you are. We talk about things you're not going to hear at church. We like bring discipleship to you and show you how beautiful the church is and how beautiful the gospel is and how life changing God's words are. And part of that is like video is kind of the thing now. You know?
Have to have really good video content if you want to be seen or known or listened to.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like all of this is not about us being seen or known or listened to.
No.
It's about the truth being seen and known and listened to and changing lives.
Yeah.
So anyways, like video is kind of what's up right now. We've been lagging a little bit just because we are fully listener supported, but we got a video camera, which is huge. We need more, but this is a huge start because basically one video camera is going to get one angle of both sides of our faces.
Better than zero sides.
But
it's
better
than
zero sides. Exactly. But it's going to give us some professional quality. We need help with like editing, like figuring out all the video things. We've been playing around. We are down to get our hands dirty. That's how this podcast started. Like we are not afraid to do the hard work and we do hard work. But getting another video camera, being able to get on YouTube, that way we can like hang out with y'all. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
Face to face almost.
Come on, girl. So we would love for you one to pray if that is something that you would love to commit to. But y'all, $100, that is literally the same as, I don't know, 15 coffees at Starbucks.
I know.
And so we would love your donations is going to make the mission of Caller Holy get to women all across the world. Because we've got listeners in literally Australia, India, all the places. But we need 100 women to donate $100. And if you can't do 100, we will take whatever.
Yeah, or
if you're
anything
like,
helps.
I want to triple that. Let's freaking go. Venmo @CallHerHoly. We love you guys.
so much. Okay, so what are we talking about today?
Okay, y'all, we always say DM us. And the purpose of that is if we don't get to it on Instagram, we want to deal with it on the podcast because chances are your DM is the same as 20 others. And we just think it's so much more powerful to make sure that if you're asking that question, chances are a lot of other women are too. And so we love to hop on, do DMs, and just truly try to get to the root of what's going on and answer what's going on in your world.
So good. We've had multiple DMs recently about hard relationships.
Yeah.
So somebody asked specifically about hard relationships, but I'm going to read another one that says, "Hey, Color Holy, I was wondering, how do you deal with conflict when it's your mom or your parents?"
Man, gosh. I feel like I'm wondering if that's in regards to meaning the holidays or in general, but what would you say that to that, Laura?
I think relationships with your family are more complicated. They can just feel a little bit more complex. You know what I mean? When you're in close quarters with somebody or you just like know each other really well, and there are triggers from your entire life that can kind of like add up, if you will.
Yeah.
So it is a little more complicated, especially considering like not everyone's family members are going to be believers.
Yeah.
So the first step in conflict is to open up your Bible to Matthew 18 and read through it. It's what are the actual verses? It's like 15 to 17, I think, or something like that. Anyways, it's in Matthew 18. You'll find it. And it basically says, when someone has hurt you or sinned against you, like your job first is not to go to your girlfriends and complain about it. It's not to whatever else you're tempted to do.
Totally.
It's not to take it out on social media. Like your first step is to go directly to that person one-on-one and say, "Hey, this hurt my feelings."
Yeah.
And have that conversation with them. And then it's like, okay, if that's not working, or honestly, this talks about sin. So it's like calling somebody out for sin. And it applies to conflict as well. So for instance, if the person's in sin and they're not repenting, they're not saying, "Okay, I hear you. Thank you. I'm going to change." Then it's like, okay, widen the circle means bring more people into it. So that's like the foundation work for conflict. And I think we don't do that well as a society. I think that's where gossip originates.
Yeah.
And scripture says that gossip is like dainty morsels and it like can kill our soul, basically.
Yeah.
You know, you don't realize that like you saying harmful things about other people or like spilling their tea is actually like hurting you and the people around you. Ephesians 4:29 says to use words that build others up.
Yeah. I think a really good point that you just made is going to them one-on-one. I don't know why we don't do that more. I feel like we have issues with our families, issues with our friends. And the last person we go to talk to is the person we're having the issue with.
Yeah.
When in reality, the only way to resolve anything is going to the person and seeking to understand. So the thing I want to say, first off, go to your Bible. Literally, the Bible has everything you have to do. If you don't know where to start, Google verses on how to deal with conflict, scripture on how to deal with conflict with family members. I think what's hard and what you were talking about, Laura, specifically is dealing with conflict with a believer.
Yeah.
What's hard is when your family member is not a believer and they don't know Jesus. So a lot of times when that happens, they tend, with my experience, to be really defensive.
Yeah. And I think even believers can be defensive.
Yes,
and this is where like, so one, it's going to them one-on-one.
Yes.
It doesn't matter who it is. It doesn't matter if it's your mom. And it honestly, I think the reason we don't do this is, I'm just going to say it, and I was this and can still be this, but it's cowardly.
Yeah.
It's just cowardly. Like, we don't like confrontation. We don't want to ruffle feathers. We're afraid of losing somebody's approval, you know, whatever it is. And it's cowardly. And scripture calls you to be strong and courageous.
Yeah.
And says that God will be with you. And so you need to know that and pray, pray, pray. But you go to that person as humbly as you can. Look for anything that you can own.
Own your 2%.
So own your 2% means that, like, if there's a conflict and somebody else is like, you know, basically it's all their fault. No, somewhere in there, you have even if it's a tiny percentage, even if it's 2%, you have something you can own.
Even if it's simple as like, "I'm so sorry, I need to ask for your forgiveness. I did gossip about you before this conversation."
Yeah. Or it's like, "Hey, will you please forgive me for not coming to you sooner with this?"
Exactly.
Because I've let it fester. And okay, so one, go to them with humility. Own what you can. Ask for forgiveness, okay? So I'm sorry for X. Will you please forgive me?
Yep.
And then it's also just being really clear. Like, "Hey, this really hurt my feelings." Asking questions like, "Did you mean that? Like, am I interpreting this wrong?" Like, leave room for you might not know the full story.
Yeah. I love what you're saying when you're saying I. statements rather than you statements. It's so easy when there's conflict of like, you did this, you are the worst, you are mean. But what you just said was, hey, I felt really hurt when you did blank. I am trying to understand when you did this, what did you mean by that?
Exactly.
And it's really important because the second you use you, you're accusing, and that's where defense can come quicker compared to if you're using I statements. It's pretty savage to be like, no, you shouldn't feel that way, which some people do.
Yeah, that's invalidating.
That's invalidating. But the more you can use I statements of where you felt hurt is going to be really helpful. And I think when we're talking, it's also making me think specifically about parents and mom is I'm in Exodus right now, and Exodus 20 talks about the 10 commandments. And one of the things that we are commanded to do is honor our mother and father. And I think where I have kind of sat with that, because it talks a lot about how the reason he gave that command is because in our culture today, we are so focused on youth being the priority and their opinion mattering more than parents. But I love the commentary specifically on honor your mother and father, because we need to honor our parents for the fact that they're older than us, that they're the ones that gave birth to us. And it's so countercultural, today, because it's all about what do I want? Parents are old, parents are dumb. I don't agree with them in reality.
They don't understand. Just think nobody understands you.
Yes, but I think another good approach is how can I honor them best?
I love that point, Nico. What's really cool is that Romans 12:10 says to outdo each other in showing honor.
Yeah.
And so like, again, like this applies to parents, but it also applies to anyone. Like if you are outdoing someone trying to show them honor, like that really shifts the perspective. And a lot of times like we're trying to win or we're trying to get even or I don't know, whatever it is. But like, if you're saying, hey, no, I'm going to choose to honor this person, even if that person has hurt me, then it can shift your whole tone.
Yeah.
Something else that we talked about is like, you know, going with humility, not being accusatory. I love that you said, you know, I statements, not like you did this. Proverbs 15:1 says a soft word turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. And there are so many more scriptures that talk about basically how a gentle answer can calm the king, like being persuasive, basically. Like words fitly spoken are like apples of gold in a setting of silver. And it's basically saying like, hey, the words that you choose to use, the way that you can approach things really changes how the other person might respond to you. This, I am the queen of like, I'm coming with my boxing gloves and I'm letting you know I am mad, you know? And Colby has helped me power down and she'd be like, okay, here's what I'm feeling. Did you mean that? You know, and I think when I can answer really kindly and softly to him, even though I'm hurt, which takes so much self-control, when I can answer humbly and kindly or like ask a question instead of misinterpreting everything, then it gives him an opportunity to be like, oh, okay, I don't have to put my boxing gloves on because you're not coming at me. You know, so I think just like being really intentional to be gentle and humble and calm and to be kind, you know?
Yeah, no, I think that's so good. And I think just reminder is that, I don't know, I always Jesus juke with this, but it's like, what would Jesus do? Truly in that moment, like what would Jesus do in this moment? He would not be one to yell. He would not be the one to get frustrated and get angry. He would be honest, but he would honor people above themselves. And so I understand that parents like can be really hard. I understand that there's deep-rooted conflict. And I think the last thing I want to say to that is, I've heard this before and it's really encouraging, is lower your expectations and higher your commitment to love people.
Ooh, that's so good.
And so lower your expectations. I think so often, especially around the holidays, we have high expectations for how our family should act over the holidays. And then we're always disappointed compared to what if you just had no expectations?
Yeah.
Truly, if you absolutely had no expectations, you would be pleasantly surprised. And then higher your commitment to love and serve them. If you go into a situation with family members with just the desire to love and serve them, conflict dies down.
Yeah. And I would say this too, like, because some of you guys are like, hey, I've tried that or whatever. Like, I love that you just mentioned lowering expectations. Be incredibly patient. Like, yeah. Your heart, as you are like continuing to bring this before the Lord, and you can talk about it in the context of other believers who are part of the solution, part of helping you kind of manage this, think through what's yours to own, think through other options than the story that you may have made up in your head about like what exactly they mean. Even if that's true, like, it can help soften your heart, you know?
Love that.
And then going and being patient, not expecting, you know, 25 years of hurt and complicated relationship to be solved in one conversation. Like, just choose one or two things. Like, hey, this really hurt my feelings. When you say X, or when you've mentioned X, like, it actually really hurt my feelings. I don't think you meant to do that. What I just did there is giving them the benefit of the doubt, believing the best. Hold on to that phrase, believe the best, benefit of the doubt. Like, just hold on to that.
Yeah.
When you give them the benefit of the doubt, like, again, it softens, lowers guards. They're less likely to come at you and totally. Be like, no, it's all your fault. And then even if they do come at you and say, hey, it's actually all your fault. Like, hey, man, that really hurts me. You know, I'm so sorry. I'd love to hear how I can better honor you or better serve you or whatever it is. So again, it takes a ton of humility, owning whatever it is and asking great questions.
Love that, man. And want to affirm you on air. You are really great at that, Laura.
Oh,
you're really, really humble. Every time, Laura, she's just humble girly.
That's so nice.
So side bit. Okay, let's dive into the next one. I think this is a really good one and so relatable. We get more DMs about this one specifically. Hey ladies, I broke up with my boyfriend 4 months ago and I thought we were going to get married. We didn't do well at keeping boundaries and went farther than I would have liked now that we're not dating anymore. We didn't have sex and I'm thankful for that. But how do I forgive myself for the choices we made? I know that God forgives, but I'm struggling with guilt and regret.
Gosh, the amount of messages that we've gotten on like guilt and shame from past mistakes. First of all, like, go listen to Hookup Culture. Part yeah. one and part two. Listen to it how many ever times you need to listen to it, because sexual sin has a way. I mean, the enemy uses that to just cover us in shame.
Yeah.
And we've said this verse 100 times on here and we'll say it 100 more. Those who look to Jesus are radiant. They are never covered with shame. Their faces are never covered with shame. That's Psalm 34. Read verses 4 and 5. And you just need to know there's no shame. Romans 8:1, there's no condemnation. And it's like, okay, well, I know these verses, but like, how do I practically stand in that? Like, how do I move forward when I'm unclean? What would you say?
Yeah, I think to just give you, just cover you in grace is one, that is totally my story. I remember my first boyfriend, I was like big, like my whole thing in high school, everyone knew me as a girl that wouldn't have sex before marriage.
Yeah.
And then I dated my first boyfriend in college and I remember him being like, but we're going to get married. Then what's the big deal?
Yeah.
And we then had sex and then he broke up with me immediately after. And it was gut wrenching because
so sorry.
I felt used. And that the one thing that I had been holding myself to for so long was taken away. And so since then I have dated other people and some of them shamed me really bad for it, full transparency. Mm. And it was really, really hard. Mm. But if you've listened to past podcasts, like, I'm not ashamed of that.
Yeah.
Like, it's allowed, the Lord has truly used the things that have been hard to minister to other women. But I think the thing that it makes me think of first is the narrative of Genesis 3. And what we see in Genesis 3 is that the enemy is dangling the apple in front of the woman. And he's going, just take a bite. Like, what's the big deal? And then immediately after she takes a bite, he covers her in shame. And so what you fell prey to was the narrative that we fall prey to every single day. The enemy tempting us with something that the world tells us will satisfy. We take a bite or we go into it, whether that be drinking, sex, boys, booze, anything. And then immediately he flips the script. And it's like, oh, you're so dirty. You're so disgusting. I can't believe you did that. But what we see is that the Lord then comes in, creates coverings for them and covers them because he loves them. And the same goes for you. The same goes for me, is that the Lord doesn't look at you and go, you're so dirty now. You're so used up. He's like, no, daughter, can I cover you with my love? Because you are made new in my eyes.
Yeah.
And the thing is that the only person shaming you is the enemy, because the Lord never will. And you even followed up with that question of going, well, how do I now move forward in dating? And I think the first answer to that is you don't need to tell the next person that you're dating right off the bat. You don't need to go on the first date. Let me tell you. Be free of the guilt and shame that comes from it. But also, that doesn't mean you get to do it again. that doesn't mean that you're like, okay, well, I'm forgiven for that. Now I'll just go into my next dating relationship and we'll see what happens. It's turning from sin is what repentance means.
Exactly. So there's this lie in culture that has crept into the church that is like, it really comes from a wrong reason, wrong motives behind staying pure. I think sometimes we stay pure out of pride instead of staying pure out of wanting to follow Jesus.
Yeah.
And that then leads to, okay, well, I've already crossed this line, so I'm going to cross it again. It doesn't matter now. And it's like, no, it actually does matter, because every sin is an offense to Jesus. Every next time is the reason Jesus had to die on the cross.
Yeah.
And so like, you're basically spitting in Jesus's face when you do that. And I know, like, again, there's so much compassion, there's so much grace, but like stepping back and being like, hey, why was I staying pure? Like, why was I doing that? And why am I continuing to do this? Because I think God actually doesn't love me anymore, because I think I'm not worth a relationship that is pure. And it's like, no, because when God looks at you, if you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, aka you have confessed with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you believe that he died and was raised to life again, you have eternal life and you are made new. You are made righteous. Like, literally your filth was paid for. It's punished. There is no punishment left for it. Isaiah 53 says it's already been done. It's already been paid for. Mm. Jesus took it on the cross and then replaced your nastiness with his righteousness. So now when God looks at you, he doesn't see a girl who's had sex before or a girl who's crossed some lines but not had sex. He sees purity. He sees his son.
Yeah.
He sees righteousness. He sees Jesus. Do you think he's thinking those things about Jesus? Okay, then he's not thinking those things about you, because you are carrying Jesus's righteousness, Jesus's cleanliness, Jesus's purity if you have been saved. And so you need to know that and like stand in that and walk confidently in that. And any guy who knows the gospel well and believes Jesus is not going to look at a girl who has had sex before and say, you're not worth it to me. Like, you're unclean and you're less valuable now. He's going to look at her and say, guess what? I've sinned too. And it might not have been in that way, but my sin was enough for Jesus to die. And so now I'm not going to look at your sin and think you're nasty. I'm not going to, because I look and I see a daughter of the King. I look and I see somebody who Jesus died for. I look and I see somebody worth pursuing, who maybe that sin hurts me in some way and I'm grieved by that, but I know a God who redeems. And I'm not disqualifying you because of your past sin. I'm saying, sister, come on, let's go. Let's run. Let's run in a way that shows that you are pure and that shows that you are confident, not in your own righteousness or your own mistakes, but you're confident in Jesus's grace.
I love that. And especially because I always want to give tangibles. I think that's really helpful of going, okay, well, what do I do that I know the Lord forgives, but like I'm struggling with guilt and regret. And I think that's truly just starting to declare liar.
Yeah.
When the lie comes in of you're dirty, you failed, you're disgusting, liar. And replace it with the truth. Kind of what we talked about in the very beginning of this episode is that I was always hearing the word failure, but when I replaced it with the word fighter, the lie didn't have any power anymore.
That's so good.
So for you, maybe that's replacing the word with dirty, disgusting, used with made new, redeemed, righteous, a masterpiece, beloved, daughter. Like, fill in the blank, whatever it is that's going to make you stand in the truth. But also, literally having a verse to combat it is the strongest thing you can ever do. It's just going, no, Romans 8:1, there's no condemnation. You're a liar. The Lord is not the one that guilt and shames me. And I don't know. So that's a really tangible way, is when you hear the lie, combat it with truth. Like, you have to fight back or you will be taken out.
So, so, so good. Y'all, the enemy is not like sleeping. Like, he's not just chilling. So why are you? Like, the enemy is coming after you. You need to gear up. Every single morning, you need to be in God's word. You need to be talking to other godly women about the things that you're going through. You have to, or you're going to be taken out. Like, put on the armor of God.
Love it.
All right. So let's read another one. So I just got led on for like a little over a month and then asked the guy for clarity and he told me he wasn't interested. We're still close friends and now I'm attached to him with still developing feelings and need some advice on moving forward from that.
Okay, that is such a great question. We actually did a full episode on that because we get so many DMs. So literally go back. It was on July 12th and we did a breakup episode when you actually never dated. Check it out. It will honestly encourage you and answer that question in deep, deep depth.
I was the queen of this. I had so many breakups that I never actually dated them.
I was like, this episode is for sure from Laura because I am pretty savage. I'm like, we either dated or we didn't. I'm just so black and white.
You guys, I've been broken up with hundreds of times.
See, I'm like so black and white that I'm either in a relationship or I am stone cold single. There's like nothing in between because I don't do gray. I'm just so black and white.
I love it. Oh my gosh.
Okay, hit us with the next question. Okay.
Hi, I've just recently started listening to y'all and I love what I'm hearing. I have a question to ask y'all that I've been struggling with. I'm at a point in my relationships where I'm all in and I'm ready to get married and start a new chapter, but my boyfriend needs a little more time. How do I support him instead of getting frustrated or feeling like he isn't ready because of me or that he might change his mind?
Gosh, okay. I think the first thing I would say is, have you asked him these questions?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I think we're scared to scare people off sometimes.
Yeah, we're scared in being honest that we will basically scare them off, they'll break up with us, all the things. So we are kind of half in, half out. It's like you're kind of making these subtle hints of this is what you want. But I think what's really powerful is telling him what you want.
He's not picking up on y'all's hints, just so you know. Like, exactly. He's not seeing that you put your left hand out, you know, this way.
Like, I'm so, my left hand is so cold and empty. It's like, no. Have you been honest with him? Have you told him your desires? Have you told him, like, this is what I want? Let's say that you think you're dating for marriage, but you've never actually communicated that. He could be thinking that you're just dating for fun. You need to make sure that you're communicating what you want, what your desires are. You don't need to be some strong, overwhelming woman that's like, if you don't propose in the next 2 months, we are done. But just being like, hey, I wanted to check in of like, where are you at? Like, these are my desires. This could be premature. It could be a little bit early on, but I'd rather be honest with you of what I'm feeling and where I hope this goes and communicate about it than be really let down by never communicating out of fear that you're going to reject me by being honest.
Yeah, I think there are a couple of different ways that we can just give you a handhold to do this. That way you're not, because it changes depending on where you are in the relationship and what he's communicated with you. So if he's already communicated clearly, like, hey, I'm headed towards marriage, like, that's why I'm dating, you can still ask for clarity and know that you're not going to scare him off by asking for clarity. You can literally just say, like, hey, I am so grateful for your leadership. I am in no way, like, I don't want to rush you or anything like that. I'm at a point in my life where I'm only really dating to pursue a future with somebody.
Yeah.
So I wanted to check in and see, like, hey, do you see the same thing? Is there a timeline that you think is a good amount of time to date before, you know, talking about next steps? I think you can just ask him in a way that is like, that is not, you know what I mean? That's not overwhelming. And if he gets overwhelmed by that question, then that's his thing. Like, you're not going to scare the right guy off by asking for clarity. The right kind of guy who wants to lead you is going to say, oh, okay, the girl that I'm leading needs a little bit more clarity. Let me provide that for her.
Totally.
And he can say, I actually don't know. Let me think about that. You can give him, you know, freedom for that. Like, to go home, like, think about it, like, pray about it. You know what I mean? Or he might say, like, oh, you know, I haven't communicated this with you, but like, I think 8 months is a really good time frame. And in 8 months, I want to revisit this conversation or whatever that is.
Totally. And also, to follow up, this sweet girl did follow up with another message, which I do want to touch on. And you mentioned that you were just graduating college. I think that age has a lot to do with this, is that I think a lot of times if you're in college, you're experiencing the pressure of ring by spring. And so that's another big thing, is are you feeling the pressure from other people when you're navigating your own timeline? Like,
I think it's yes. And I also think it happens for like girls in 20s as well.
For sure.
20s and 30s. Like, one, you start thinking like, we just want what we want. Period. Yep. End of story. We want to be married. And we are going to probably be ready for it a lot sooner than a lot of guys are. And we mature sooner than guys. And you know what I mean? And then I think the other thing is that, like, we start feeling this whole biological pressure. You know what I mean?
For sure.
I don't have time to waste a year of my life on you, bro. You know what I mean? Like,
exactly. Totally agree with you. But I'm with you. But I think also you have to recognize, like, you're really young. Like, I don't know. I just feel like, also, I'm 31 and still single. So I feel like looking back at 22, I'm like, oh my gosh, praise the Lord, I didn't get married at that time. So give yourself grace in that. But secondly, you also asked, like, I don't really know where my boyfriend's at. Like, how do I basically revolve my future around him? But once again,
Yeah.
Have you had the honest conversation? But then secondly, if you have all these amazing job opportunities, your boyfriend isn't willing to make moves, be clear, has any clarity for you, girl, live your life.
Yeah, you move forward.
You move forward with where the Lord is calling you to, whether that be a job or a move. Because if you're just waiting on a ring, that's not what you should be waiting on. Like, ask the Lord what obedience looks like for you.
That's really
good.
You
are single right now.
Yeah.
You are not married. You don't get to ask the Lord, what does obedience look like for me and my boyfriend right now? Like, yes, ask that. But you get to sit with the Lord and go, what are you calling me to do? Because we're not one flesh yet.
Yeah, totally.
And that is extremely important. I say that from experience of, I will never forget. It was when I was dating the guy that I got engaged to. And I remember we had only been dating, gosh, for like 6 months. We ended up dating for 2 years. And I remember we were already talking about marriage. So I was like, oh, well, I'm not going to sign another lease. Like, we're going to get engaged any day now. And I remember my roommate goes, do not plan your life around a boy until you have a ring on your finger.
Exactly. Yes.
And I was like, but we're talking about engagement. So I didn't take her advice and I moved out and I legitimately moved in with my parents because I thought we were going to get engaged in 2 weeks. We didn't get engaged for another year plus.
Okay, so here's why this is really important, what you're saying. Yes. Because one, it adds pressure to the relationship. Like, you're putting expectations on something that needs space to breathe and time to grow and develop without all the pressure. Like, guys already have so much pressure. And I'm not saying let him off the hook. Like, he can provide clarity, period, end of story. Like, you can ask for clarity. That is a really good thing to do. So don't put this unnecessary pressure on your relationship, because like, if you base your decisions around that, then your expectations just got heightened it and you become a little more anxious and a little more crazy girl. You know what I mean?
Totally.
That kind of just happens. So when you are actually like living your life and saying, you know what, I'm going to sign another lease. And if I have to break it one day or whatever, then like, okay, then I have a partner who's entering into that with me. And that's not going to keep you single for longer. Like, you just need to know, like, he's not going to be like, oh, but she has a lease, I can't propose. Like, he's not thinking like that.
Absolutely. Breaking a lease is easy, ladies. It is easy. Don't revolve your life around a promise that isn't made yet.
Exactly.
Ooh, and I'm so saying good. That from someone who did that.
Yeah,
and
totally.
I learned the hard way. Like, truly moving forward, when I eventually move on to dating whoever God has for me, I'm going to be like, Lord, what are you calling for Nicoletta in this season? And if you have engagement for me, we're going to have open, honest conversations of what that's going to look like. But I'm not going to give up everything that you're calling me to just because a boy wants to be with me and he hasn't made that promise.
Yeah, that's good. So like, literally ask him if you're about to move to a different city because he's there or whatever, like, just ask him, have that conversation with him. The other thing I would say is, like, this is part of our discipleship. Like, it's freaking hard. I'm going to just put this into perspective for you. I dated Colby for 4 months. We were engaged for 2 months and then we were married. And that feels fast to a lot of people. And towards like month three, I was like, come the frick on, dude. Where is my ring?
Yeah.
Like, I got
crazy,
it
girl.
It's hard. You know what I mean? I think because I knew we were going to move fast. Like, I knew our timeline was fast. And I felt the pressure of like, okay, we kind of set a wedding date, if you will, before the engagement. And so I was like, okay, there are things to plan. Like, there are things to do. It's not that easy to just like get a venue, get a dress, all these things. Yeah. So I started feeling all the pressure of like, let's go, bro. Like, where is it at? Even with that short of engagement. And here's why I'm saying that, or that short of a dating period.
Yeah.
Here's why I'm saying that. Patience is, it's a fruit of the spirit. Yeah. Like, it's a really good quality to grow in. And it requires the spirit, because it's not a fruit of Laura. It's not a fruit of Nicoletta.
Yes.
It's not a fruit of the girl asking this question or any of y'all. It's a fruit of the spirit, which means you've got to rely on the spirit to bring up. And that is only going to benefit you. And so the more you get to practice being patient, you get to say like, God, you know what? You might be answering my prayer where I said, Lord, grow in me patience. And he's like, okay, here's an opportunity to be patient, you know?
Yes.
And I think no matter where we are in the dating process, like, we can be like, hey, I'm ready to go day one.
Yes.
And some girls are not like that. Some guys are like that. And they always end up finding each other. Like, one person's like ready and the other person has to wait. And it's part of God's designed for discipleship, honestly. Yes. Like, I think God is really strategic in saying, hey, I actually care about your character, not just the outcome. I'm, while you're waiting for life to happen, like, life is happening now, and I'm actually making you into someone I want you to be, yeah, into this more redeemed, more glorified version of yourself who looks more like Jesus.
Yeah. And I think when we're impatient, we are blinded. I think that, yeah, a lot of times when we get really impatient and we want something, we hyper focus on that one thing, and then we block out the things we don't want to see. So for example, I know women that wanted to be married so badly that when they started dating a guy, they ignored red flags because they were so hyper focused on getting a ring and they were so impatient to being married that they literally blocked out the things that were red flags because they wanted to be married so bad. And so patience is a virtue because it's a good thing. Patience develops character. Patience makes you actually evaluate. Like, marriage is not a small thing, y'all. And I think we talked about this in a previous episode. Oh, yeah, it was right before the body image and eating over the holidays. LOL, we talked about singleness, like, preaching the word. But I just feel like it is so easy to focus on being married that we forget what we're giving up when we choose marriage. It is so easy to focus on being married that we forget about what we're giving up. And we need to start being realistic of what marriage is. It's not just the beautiful wedding day, the engagement season, the cute clothes, and the cute wedding. It's a marriage, being with that person, potentially, I mean, this girl's 22, for 60 plus years of your life. Don't push the biggest decision of your life outside of salvation. Be patient. Trust the process. Trust the Lord, ultimately. Don't trust your feelings. A lot of women are led by feelings that they want to be married to this guy. Line up the facts with the feelings. Are your feelings aligned with the fact that he's the godliest man you've ever met? If he's not the godliest man you have ever met, do not marry him. Like, I literally said that to someone yesterday. I'm like, is he the godliest man you've ever met? She was like, no, he's like a great guy. I'm like, okay, is he a great guy because the last guy you dated was crap? So therefore he's a great guy? Or is he actually a godly, God-fearing man? There's a huge difference. Because if he had a blank ex, a terrible ex, he's not that,
yeah,
great.
And you can be like, but he's not that bad. Yeah, exactly. Totally. And, you know, there's all that. I love it. I think another thing to just kind of add a different perspective, still agreeing with you, is that look at his trajectory. Because I think, yes, a lot of times, like, we expect guys to have the faithfulness of a 50-year-old. And it's like, no, like, he's a 25-year-old. And he,
or a 22.
You know, he doesn't have the wisdom and the years of experience that somebody else does. And he, yeah, may have only known Jesus for a year or two, but you want to look at his trajectory. Like, if he keeps doing all the things he's doing now, where is he going to end up in 25 years?
Great.
Is it that he's looking at porn? Okay. Then where is he going to go? Like, it's, he's, yes, going further into,
ladies,
sin. You know what I mean?
If he is looking at porn, you need to break up with him.
Yeah.
If he is following girls on Instagram that are naked, break up with him.
Yeah, that's,
you are,
yeah,
develop, you are, he is training to cheat on you in the future.
Yeah, where there's sin, there's more sin. That's kind of like a rule of thumb. Where there's sin that you see, there's sin that's hidden. And so you just don't need to play with that. And there's grace and all of that, but, like, somebody needs to get healthy. And so there's that, but
the,
like,
same goes for you. Like, yeah, if you're not, like, I know that it's so easy to think, like, oh, I've got to eat and just, well, by God's grace, I don't. But if you have an eating disorder now, it's not magically going to be fixed when somebody comes into the picture. If,
yeah,
you're an alcoholic now, it's not because you're going to magically be fixed. Like, in the same way that you shouldn't be dating until you deal with your stuff, he shouldn't be dating until he deals with them,
totally,
stuff. It's going to get worse in marriage.
And there's a line. Like, there really is a line. So it's like, looking at his trajectory, if he's like, if he's actively dealing with his stuff, you know what I mean? If he's like, hey, I am working on whatever it is,
yeah,
pride with this group of godly men, you know, or like, hey, I do, you know, have a struggle with porn. And what he means by that, he communicates clearly, like, hey, a year ago was the last,
totally,
time, and I am actively pursuing health in the context of community. And it's been, they're all saying it's time for me to date, and I'm healthy today. Like, just look at his trajectory. Like, what is he doing right now? It's not that he can't have anything that he's still needs to grow in. You know,
yeah,
what I mean? Like,
sure.
I think sometimes we're just like, oh, we get the ick because he, I got this question the other day, like, about the ick.
Yeah.
Like, you get the ick about everything. And it's like, okay, sometimes we get the ick because it's like, okay, he, I don't know, he laughed at something that felt
sometimes
immature.
The ick is,
you know what I mean?
Really pretentious on your part.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, you got to there is, you need to know, there is no one single person
that's perfect
who's gonna have like every single thing that you've ever wanted, you know what I mean? And never get on your nerves if it for if sure. that happened. If you meet that guy at some point, like there's gonna be something that bothers you, like
eventually
it just, exactly. And guess what, you're like that too, so you just need yeah. to know that. I think the other thing is like, okay, if you met that person, it'd be somebody who's just like you, and that would probably be a disaster.
That's so
you know
good.
What I mean.
So good.
But anyway, so okay, so look at his trajectory. I don't know. We've gone on so many different yeah, side tangents. We just love this. We just are like, we feel so protective over y'all. We're like, stop dating these guys who are not there. But there really is a difference. I just want to say this so clearly. There's a difference in a guy who is humble and saying, "Hey, I'm not the best at communicating clearly, or I'm not the best at whatever, and I am like actively working on X, Y, and Z, and I'm plugged into a church community and growing." That's the kind of guy that you're like, yes, I'll take it, because you can see blind spots, like you take feedback well, and you are committed to growing. Because guess what? In 10 years or whenever it is, like when you start having kids, like more things are going to come to the surface that you don't even know are there. And you want a guy who's committed to saying, like, I am committed to Jesus, not just for your sake, for my sake, and for Jesus's sake. So anyways,
that's so good.
Find that kind of guy.
Okay, final question. I get this all the time. What do you do when your friend is dating a guy that you don't think is best for her?
So this is funny, because sometimes when I get these messages, there's like a genuine concern. And sometimes when I get these messages, it's like, you're just mad that you're not dating someone. You know what I mean? Or like, you're mad at something else. Like, you're mad that the girl isn't as available for you. You know what I mean? Or feels that's left good. In the dust. Like, there's some hurt there that you don't even probably know. And that's okay. I love hearing those raw messages, because then it's like, okay, then I can help. You know what I mean? I feel like you sound a little hurt. So yeah. I would separate those two. Like, one, start looking inward and say, like, is there anything here that it's like, this is actually a me thing and this isn't very valid? You can still talk with that girl about it. You know what I mean? But the last thing you want to do is to make her feel guilty for getting a good thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's really good. I think a lot of times, I mean, honestly, go back and listen to our red flags episode. Maybe have her listen to the red flags episode. I think first step is asking, I love what you said, why do you not want your friend to be dating? But there are pretty tangible things to be red flags about. Like, does he love Jesus? Do you see your best friend thriving?
Yeah.
Do you see that this guy is pushing her more towards Jesus? I mean, specifically, this girl said, that's actually my ex-boyfriend, and now my best friend is dating him. So I know all his red flags, and I told her she shouldn't date him, but it's coming across as jealous when I actually know why she shouldn't. And so it's like that really awkward, granted, that's a very unique situation.
Yeah.
But I think for that specifically is, one, inviting God in to ask him what he thinks you should do.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because it literally says, Psalm 23, I will guide you in the right path. I'll guide you in paths of righteousness. Like, a word is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. Ask the Lord what your role is to play. At the end of the day, I will say this. You should always lovingly approach your friends when you see red flags. If that's like real red flags.
Totally.
Secondly, you then get to surrender her to the Lord.
That's good.
Because you can't change people. Only the Holy Spirit can. And so for you get to bring humbly to her, like, hey, I love you so much that I've seen these things in your relationship. I've seen the way you've blank, blank, and blank. Or I've seen the way he has blank, blank, blank. And I'm concerned. And I love you too much not to tell you about my concerns. After you do that, and if that doesn't go well, once again, following the Matthew 18 process, you then could bring more people in. You could bring in your small group, bring in other friends, and be like, hey, once again, we have seen these concerns with you and with him. And then after that, if she's still sitting here saying, screw you, I want to date him, that's a place of surrender.
And I think it's different if a girl is dating a non-believer versus if she's dating a guy who has like flags that you've seen. Yeah. Like, is her dating him actual sin?
Great question.
It's like, okay, that's going to change. Like, sometimes, like, people are, I'm stubborn. I'm just a stubborn person.
Totally.
Like, a lot of lessons I'm going to learn the hard way. Like, I remember my brother-in-law looking at me when I'm telling about this DJ that I dated in Australia, who I'm like, yeah, we go to clubs all the time. Like,
yeah.
And he just looks at me and he's like, I just don't see how dating an Australian DJ could be good for you. And I'm like, it's great for me. You know, like,
he drops really good beats, brah. Like, what's better than that?
And so, like, I had to learn the lesson, you know, on my totally. Own. And I will never forget that statement from my brother-in-law. And then when my eyes were opened and when it became clear to me, I, one, had to deal with the wreckage and the damage that that relationship caused yeah. because, I love that he cared enough about me to say something because, yeah, I was headed towards damage and wreckage that took me a long time to unwind and to heal from. And that could have been spared. But two, like, I had to go through that myself. Yeah. And I look back and I remember him calling me out. And he didn't push me. He didn't I would have probably just pushed him away if I wasn't ready to hear it. Yeah. I was living in my little fairy tale. I was like in my movie. I was like having so much fun and yeah. you couldn't have convinced me not to date him. And one, that's not good. So I'm not saying be totally, that person, totally. But it just took me some time. And now I look back and I'm like, thank you so much. And guess what? I'm really sorry that I didn't listen to you. And so I think sometimes I like that you said surrender that person because they're all on their own journey. And I think sometimes we become these little justice warriors. I'm like, yeah. no, you can't do this. This is wrong. And instead it's like, take the approach of like, again, comes down to humility yeah. and like being spirit led. Like, hey, here's the thing. Here are the things that I'm seeing. Yeah. I hope that I'm wrong and I hope that it's different from you. When I was dating him or like what I've seen is this. And you know what? He may have grown in that. Yeah. And I hope and pray that he does. But here's what I've seen recently as you guys are dating and you can do with that what you will. But I just wanted to bring that up with you and let you know, like as a friend, I don't think that dating him is what's best. Yeah. You know what I mean? Or whatever that is. Okay. And you can bring that up multiple times, but at the end of the day, stick with her, love her. You know what I mean? And let her know like, hey, I'm right here.
Yeah. That's so good.
Again, this is different if it's like dating a non-believer and you're totally. Part of the same church and there's like Matthew, there's like a church discipline sure. process. We can get to that in a different episode.
Yeah. And I think ultimately like pray for your friend, pray for yeah. the right words, yeah. pray for your friend, yeah, pray for him. Like, prayer is so much more powerful than confrontation. Like, you can't change people, but the Lord can. So are you spending more time trying to figure out how to confront, or are you spending more time on your knees praying for her?
That's so good. I'm going to say this last thing. I think we in the church have done a bad job at being comfortable sitting with sinners.
Yeah.
It's the whole like seeing the speck of dust in someone else's yeah. eye without seeing the plank in our own.
Yeah.
And I think we can get tunnel vision and be like, you can't do this. Like, this is wrong. Like, you're in sin. Why? And it's like, okay, take a step back. Yes, call them out. Yes, speak up. Yes, be the person who loves them by telling them the truth. And at the end of the day, trust that God's got them. You know what I mean? And so I think like, being comfortable being like, hey, but I'm still here and I'm still gonna walk with you and I'm not gonna like shut you out and just get so mad at you because you're doing something that, you know, I don't agree with. Like, I think we just need to be a little bit more comfortable with sitting across the table with somebody who's like, yeah, I smoked weed last night, or I got drunk and I did all this stuff. And it's like, okay, depending on where that person is with the Lord, like deciding what's next. Like, am I going to be a person who's like safe and can lovingly and winsomely lead you toward Jesus? Or am I going to be a person who immediately gets red face, angry, I'm offended that you did that? Like, no, like be sad for the person, be hurt. The scripture calls you to admonish the unruly. So do all those things. But I don't know. Just sit on that, y'all. I think we need to be a little bit more comfortable with sitting with sinners.
Yeah, it reminds me of John 7 and John 8 when it talks about Jesus and them throwing the adulterous woman on the ground. And they're all condemning yeah. her. And we just see that Jesus goes, whoever has not sinned, throw the first stone. And yeah. it's this beautiful picture of him literally doing what you just described, like getting comfortable with sinners. He gets down on his knees and he goes, who is here to condemn you? Then neither do I condemn you.
That's so good. And notice how I didn't say comfortable with sin. I said comfortable with sinners.
Yes.
Like letting them be on their own journey and trusting the Holy Spirit to do the Holy Spirit's work.
Yep.
But again, that is not you being passive and not speaking up. It's speaking up lovingly, kindly, and speaking the truth in love. And like being comfortable, like sitting with them through that and being there when they are like, oh, shoot. this led exactly where you said it was going to lead.
And giving grace rather than like, exactly. I told you so.
You don't have to be like, I told you so. So yeah. Anyways, we hope this has been helpful. We really, really love y'all. And we love getting to support the dreams God has in your heart. We love getting to support the discipleship that God's doing in you, in your local church and wherever you are. If you don't know about church or Jesus, like DM us. Like,
we would love to connect you.
We would love to. And if you want to be part of this mission, please consider donating at Call Her Holy on Venmo. Nico, what do you want to say about that?
I just
called you Nico.
Nico, I'm here for it. Come on.
Nico.
Lots of opportunities. But y'all, once again, we're looking for 100 women to donate $100 by January 1. Even in the last, we've been recording this episode, we've already gotten 6 donations and we are so dang grateful. Y'all, we need you. We want to make Call Her Holy travel bigger into more places in 2024 and we need your help. At Color Holy Venmo, we'll take, even if it's $10, take a zero off of it, we'll take it.
We love you. See you next time.
Bye, guys.